Go ahead and open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I've spent quite a bit of time in the book of Romans. Someone made the observation that Romans is that book in the Bible that a 4 or 5 year old can comprehend, and they can also challenge those who have been in the body of Christ for years and years and years, can challenge scholars. What I intend to do this morning is go back to Romans chapter 5 and bring us up to speed before we get into Romans chapter 6. And from the moment you start in Romans 1 all the way through, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And I want you to listen carefully this morning because I want to help you better understand who you are in Christ. I want you to better understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Until you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, you're not going to walk in victory. You're not going to walk in peace. You're not going to walk in power. You're not going to walk in love until you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And I'm here to say to you that most of the church does not understand that. They give voice recognition. They give mental recognition. But it's not in the voice. It's not in mental recognition. It's in the spirit. So this morning, I want you to better understand who you are in Christ Jesus. And I want you to better understand, what do you expect in eternity? Eternity is in front of you. Your last heartbeat is going to happen. Your last breath is going to be taken. And the split second your heart beats the last time, as a child of God, you'll be in glory. Your body won't even get cold. You'll be in glory. The moment life leaves your body, in that split second, you will be in glory. So I want you to understand this morning that I want you to better understand who you are in Christ Jesus. I want you to better understand what to expect in eternity. How much time do you spend thinking about eternity? I mean, is in front of all of us. You're facing eternity. I'm facing eternity. We're all facing eternity. Eternity is out in front of us. Every human being who has ever been born, and every human being today, those who have been born are in eternity, those who've gone on, and those of us are going to go into eternity. The question is, where are you going to spend eternity? And that's a question I think that a lot of people never really even stop to think about. Where am I going to spend eternity? So with that in mind, I told you to turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin with verse 1 once again. And I'm doing this as a prelude to getting you to Romans chapter 6. As I said, it's a book that a child can wade in scripturally. And the most advanced can find themselves lost if they're not careful, trying to understand him. In Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, have you been justified? I told you before, justified just as if I'd never sinned. Having been, therefore, been justified by faith, not by my ancestral lineage, not by the denomination I belong to, or lack of denomination, the religious movement I belong to, none of that has anything to do with it. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have the peace of God? I mean, really, day after day after day, do you have the peace of God? Are you vexed, concerned, worried, doubtful, fearful? Can you get up every morning of the world, say hallelujah, praise your Lord, thanks for giving me this day. If I don't get through this day, I'll see you in glory. You see, the peace of God, they've got all kinds of pills to kind of level you out. They got a pill for everything that crosses your body, that crosses your mind, that affects you, inflicts you in any way. They've got a pill for everything. There's not a pill made that can give you the peace that Christ can give you. You see, I made the comment years and years and years ago that if I'm in a building and the building collapses all around me and the ashes and dust falling on me and I'm not dead, I can get up, wipe the stuff off, walk out and say, glory be to God, let's go have a cup of coffee or a Coke. You see, once you know who you are in Christ Jesus, now you're humans. You have human emotions. But sometimes the emotions rule over the spirit. Sometimes we allow the emotions to take superiority in our lives over the Spirit of God. Whatever you're facing in life, you can face it with this knowledge. My God is in control. Now, you're going to hit some bumps in the road. Just because you're a child of God does not mean you're not going to have some bumps in the road. As a matter of fact, many times it means you are going to have bumps in the road. Because God has got to let you come through bump after bump after bump. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I'm experiencing some of it even now. I understand that. But by the same token, I understand who's on the throne and who's on the throne of my life. And I understand you got to get up, understanding every morning, you got to get up and say, I'm hated in hell. Now, come on, listen to me. Every day of the world, you are hated in hell. As a child of God, everything in hell hates you. And you have to understand that in your bloodline, there are those ancestral spirits, those ancestral problems in the bloodline, where the ancestors gave ground. And you've got to understand that you yourself have given some ground. And then you yourself have got to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. But I don't think most of the church understands who they are in Christ Jesus. I think most of the church is living at a sub-level. I really do. We have this concern, that concern, all of these concerns that come against us. Once we learn, Christ is on his throne. Christ was crucified. He was placed in a tomb. He came out of that tomb. He is resurrected. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for some 40-some days. Went back to glory. When I was born again, I am indwelt by the creative power of the universe. And you've been born again. You are indwelt by the creative power of the universe through the Spirit of the living God. And you don't want to quench him. You don't want to grieve him. Romans 5:2. Through whom, Jesus, we have access by faith. By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How diligently do you seek God? How diligently do you seek his leadership? How diligently do you seek his anointing, his direction, his wisdom, his understanding, his leadership in your life, every day of the world, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, the unmerited favor of God. We got something we didn't deserve. I don't deserve salvation. Neither do you. Not a soul in here deserves salvation. We don't deserve it. Through faith, through grace, in which we stand. We don't sit down and ride out. We stand on the Word of God. We stand for the kingdom of God. We stand for those things that God stands for. We stand against those things that God stands against, and we don't compromise. There's no room in the life of a believer for compromise. Compromise is the language of the devil. And he will always try to compromise you. We don't compromise. Through whom also we have access to the throne of God, to Christ, by faith into this grace, the unmerited favor of God. We got something we didn't deserve, in which we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. Now what I'm doing, I'm recovering some verses here to get us to Romans 6. Because Romans 6, once you understand Romans 6, once you truly understand Romans 6, then you can get up every morning of the world and you can face everything Satan's going to throw at you. But we're trying to set the stage now for you to believe that and understand that. Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we also glory. In other words, we take joy in tribulation. You do, don't you? You do, don't you? Yeah, we take glory, the Word of God says. Not only that, but we also glory. And what is tribulation? Problems, headaches, heartaches, things that we run into in life, all kinds of different problems at every different level. Do you understand? Oh, Lord, help me. Do you understand? You came into the kingdom of God. I keep telling you this because most of the church does not understand this. You came into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. Now, 4 or 5 weeks I've been stressing this because I'm trying to get it across to you as well as the radio congregation. You came into the family of God as a spiritual infant. And you've got to come through level after level after level after level after level of spiritual growth until you hopefully reach a level of spiritual maturity. I've been in ministry a while. And quite frankly, I haven't met that many who are really what I could call spiritually mature. Once again now, watch it very carefully. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. That's how you build up spiritual stamina. Spiritual stamina. You come through problem after problem after problem. You face mental problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems, physical problems, domestic problems, financial problems. Put your name on it. We face all kinds. You see, Satan knows where to hit you. Satan knows what's in your bloodline. Satan knows where to hit you. He knows where you're the weakest. He knows how to get you to react and respond. He knows how to get you to react and respond out from underneath the will of the Father in violation of the Word of God, to get you to violate the Spirit. It's warfare, folks. I keep telling you this, but I don't think most of the church understands. It is warfare. I keep telling you it's not a picnic. Every day of the world, he's out to trip you up, discourage you, defeat you, to get you to grumbling and mumbling and complaining and doubting God's goodness, doubting God's Word. Some way, he wants to neutralize you in your walk with the Lord. You have to understand, every day of the world, it's warfare. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. I told you a couple of Sundays ago when I covered this, I said, okay, you come through battle after battle after battle. And after the battle, you can say, okay, praise God, I made it through that one. I didn't succumb. I didn't give in. I didn't give up. I came through the battle. I won. In Jesus Christ, I won that test. And sometimes a test is nothing more than a mental attitude. Sometimes it's an emotional response. Sometimes it's doubting. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's confusion. But he introduces anything. You understand he's working at all levels. I'll never forget the time I was working with a guy one time. We were performing an exorcism. And I've told you this before, but I want to remind you of this again because you need to understand how the system works. I got to this one demon, and I said, what is your position? What is your authority? What is your role in this man's life? And here's his exact words. He said, my job is to get the ball rolling. Now, he was using the man's voice. And I said, what do you mean by get the ball rolling? And under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to reveal that I set up levels of aggravation. I set up levels of agitation. I set up levels of doubt. I set up levels of fear. I set up things that will frustrate him and agonize him. And then once we get him where we want him there, I turn him off to the next power. Recognize any of that in your life? Folks, I've been doing this a while. And I'm telling you, I have come through layer after layer after layer. And I haven't arrived yet. I'm a long ways from the top. But I've come through layer after layer after layer of God peeling off and peeling off and peeling off. Had I known that Sunday morning, when God and I finally had an understanding about my surrendering to the ministry and coming into the ministry, had I known what I was going to be up against, I would have had some serious, serious reservations. I did anyway. But he confirmed it for me, and I did it. Now, you have to understand, there's never going to be a day of your life that he's not seeking to destroy you, discourage you, defeat you, in some way to introduce into your life that mindset, that reaction, that response, that in some way will violate the character of Christ and the Word of God. It's layer after layer after layer. It's level after level after level. Now, I don't think most of the church really truly understands that. We go back once again now to verse 4. And perseverance, character. And character, it is as you come through battle after battle after battle, and as you come through victoriously, you say, Lord, I can't handle this. I can't win this thing. I've got to have your anointing. I've got to have your direction. I've got to have your anointing, Lord. I can't win this battle. So then, as he anoints you, as he enables you, as he empowers you, as you get the victory in that particular battle, that produces perseverance. You say to yourself when it's over, well, glory be to God. I won again. I came through that thing. I came through that. Now, here's something that I have experienced myself, and I want you to understand it. Unclean spirits in the bloodline, and unclean spirits that gain access to you through your actions, your attitudes, your reactions, your responses. Many times, they will lay latent in your life. They will not bother you that much. They will not come against you that strongly until you reach a certain point and a certain place in life. And then they want all the situation, they want everything in place that they can operate so that they can trip you up and cause you to stumble and to fall. Once you understand the warfare, and I don't think the average Christian ever takes the time to study the warfare. Understand what the warfare is all about. It is warfare. Every day of the world, it is warfare. And I don't know. The Word of God says, take unto you the whole armor of God. I don't know how much of the people of God understand what the old armor of God is. I don't know if the average child of God sitting in church understands, realistically, this is in my heart, this is burning so hot, understands that there will never be a day of your world that Satan is not seeking to discourage you, disappoint you, trip you up, cause you to fall in your walk with God. He wants to use you as an excuse for somebody else, showing that you, and here's our problem. We think, well, I'm pretty good. I think I got this thing down. I got on the whole armor of God. I've been born again. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm a member of the church that I'm proceeding on. And what you don't understand is there is so much still in there. Yes, you're a new creation. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're born again. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been adopted into the family of God. You have direct access to the throne of God as long as you keep it prayerly short. But there's never going to be a day of your world, never a day of your world, that the enemy is not out to discourage you, defeat you, disappoint you, and in some way ruin your testimony. Every day of the world, you will never face a day where the system of evil isn't operating against you. Never. You'll never reach that point. Billy Graham didn't get there. D. James Kennedy didn't get there. And our problem is that we reach a spiritual level. We say, well, I think I'm doing pretty good here. I'm not cussing, and I'm not drinking like I used to, and I'm not, but you harbor all this other stuff in there. We got all kinds of attitudes and reactions and emotions that are churning and churning and churning, and if you're not careful, in a heartbeat, you respond to it. You give in to it. And then you have grieved the Spirit of God. How many times a day do you say to the Holy Spirit of God, I am sorry I just grieved you? How many times a day do you quench the Holy Spirit? Do you even know how to quench the Holy Spirit? Do you know what constitutes quenching the Holy Spirit? Do you know what constitutes grieving the Holy Spirit? We're not to grieve the Spirit. We're not to grieve the Spirit. We're not to quench the Spirit. And yet we, in our walk with the Lord, many times both quench and grieve, and sometimes we do it alternately throughout the day. We're quenching Him, we're grieving Him. Then we go home, we get in bed, we go to sleep, we go to bed, we get to sleep without taking the time to realize, wait a minute, how many times today did I fail? You say, no, wait a minute, I didn't come in here this morning to get disappointed. I'm not. I'm trying to teach you how to walk in victory. I'm telling you, see, as long as you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you're hindering your prayer life. As long as you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're blocking. And one reason I'm stressing this, if ever there's a time in the world that this nation needed prayer warriors, it's now. We need prayer warriors. We need people who know who they are in Christ, who know they have access to the throne of God, who know they can go into the throne of God and say, Heavenly Father, I'm here on behalf of da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It may be on behalf of the nation. It may be on behalf of the state. It may be on behalf of whatever it may be. Right now, the state of Florida is looking at a change to the Constitution for the state of Florida that will practically remove every barrier from abortion on demand. Amendment number four to the Constitution of the state of Florida will basically remove every restriction off abortion. And this is the first time it's come up like this. The church is, for the most part, mindless about what's really going on in the world. What Satan is really planning, the strategy, the tactics, the schedule, what he's putting in the program, what he's putting in implementation. The church, for the most part, is oblivious to that because I got mine, I'm happy, you're happy, we're happy together. So let's just go through life laughing and jumping up and down, enjoying life. When all around us, all hell is breaking loose. I have to deal with this, folks. It's the call of God on my life. And I'm on the radio hitting this. And I'm trying to call people to repentance and to prayer and to intercessory prayer and get right with God so we can go into the presence of God and be heard by God in our prayer time. Number five. Come to verse 5. I'm sorry, verse 4 again. All this tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. You come through battle after battle after battle. Yo, hear me. This is never going to be a day of the world. If you're trying to count for Jesus, if you're determined to be light and salt, if you're determined to be a witness, if you're determined to be for Him and to Him, all you can be to Him and for Him, you're going to end up that day with all kinds of scar tissue. Because He's going to hit you every way that He can. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Slow down. By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, I've told you this in the past, and I'll get there again in just a moment. You, as a believer priest, you who have access to the throne of God, you who've been indwelt by the Spirit of God, are indwelt by the power that created the universe. But we quench Him. We stifle Him. We grieve Him in our attitude, in our speech. I'm telling you, and this is not a downer trip, it's just this is the key to victory. I've got to be sin sensitive. I've got to know that thought grieve the Spirit of God. That attitude, that reaction, that quench the Spirit of God, that grieve the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, so much of the church is powerless today because we don't take these things into consideration. We never take the time to say this attitude, this reaction, this whatever it is in my life, this emotion, this practice, this language, whatever it may be, this is quenching and grieving the Spirit of God. And when I quench and grieve the Spirit of God, I am robbing myself of the power of God. Adopted into the family of God? Child of God? Indwelt by the Spirit of God? Indwelt by the creative power of the universe? That's you. You're indwelt by the power that hung the stars in space, that put the moon in place and the sun in place. You are indwelt by the power that created everything that has ever been created. And all he asks of you is submission and surrender to his lordship. That's all he asks of you. Submit. Surrender to him. Bring your life into accordance with him. I don't think that the average person sitting here right now is obviously going out in a known act and world of sin. I don't believe that of you. But I believe this. I believe that even among those, listen, I've been in ministry long enough to know that this morning we got preachers in the pulpit eat up with lust. We've got preachers in the pulpit eat up with envy, anger, jealousy. We've got preachers trying to equip the people of God when they themselves have not come to grips with what is in their own life that is blocking and stopping the power of God from moving through them to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in them and through them. I don't kid myself. I've been around it too long. I've listened to too much. I've been involved in too much. I know what's going on. And one reason that the church is so powerless today is it starts right here in the pulpit. It starts right here in the pulpit. And it starts from there down throughout the congregation. Because until the pulpit gets right with God, it's really not going to be operative to get the people right with God. I want you to understand that you have spiritual clout. You have spiritual clout in glory. You have access to the throne of the creative power of the universe, God Almighty. And the one thing that will block and stop and hinder you in that is unconfessed sin in the life, whether it's an attitude or an action. Yes, I know I'm hitting on this heavy and hitting on it hard, but I'm trying. And on the radio, I'm trying to get that remnant. You see, oh, folks, understand. Let them grow together. Who sowed this stuff in the field, Lord? It's okay. It's okay. The tares are there, yes. The tares are in the pulpits. The tares are in the choir. The tares are in the Sunday school classes. The tares are in the pulpits. Just let them grow together. Let them grow together. At the time of the harvest, at the time of the harvest, we'll separate them. We'll separate the tares from the wheat. And we'll take the wheat into the barn, into the glory, into heaven. And we'll put the tares in hell. I'm convinced that for the most part, I don't think a lot of the church even really believes in hell. I don't. You stop and think about hell. What hell is? Eternal separation from God. A place of indescribable torment and punishment. Indescribable. And yet we treat it so lightly. And yet everybody you know is going to end up in one or two places. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. You may be the only salt in their whole community. You may be the only light in their life. You may be the only one that will go to the prayer closet in your private prayer time and lift that individual up before the throne of God and beg God to save that soul. Ask God to reveal to that individual their lostness. You, a believer priest, a child of God, you have that right. You have that authority. And quite frankly, I don't think most of the church understands that. I don't think they do. We come down to verse 6. No, go back to verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Am I consciously aware of his love? Are you? Are you consciously aware of his love, his protection, his provision, his leadership, his guidance? This is not some kind of abstract thing. Are you consciously, personally aware of his love? Where he's brought you from, what he's brought you through, where he's brought you to. Are you conscious of that? Verse 6. For when we were still without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. We understand from Galatians chapter 4 that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. In the fullness of time. What does that mean to you? In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, born under the law. It means that in that split second, in all the political machinery in the world, all the economic systems, in that precise moment, when every player was in place, everything was in place, everything was being done, at that precise moment, God became flesh. Called Himself Jesus of Nazareth. Christ. In that split second in time, do you understand the significance of the cross? Folks, hear me, hear me, hear me. Once we understand that I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and had God taken me out, had my heart beat the last time, I would be irretrievably in hell with no opportunity to come out. See, that's where Catholicism denies and deceives and defeats. Oh, you die. Yeah, you're not quite right with God. And you'll go over here to purgatory. And you know, once you get in purgatory, you kind of got to suffer a little bit to get rid of some of the stuff in your life. But once you take care of that, well, you'll come out of purgatory and you'll go to glory. That's a lie out of hell. You can't show me purgatory in the Word of God. No. When that last heartbeat comes, that's finality. That's the end of it right then and there. Without Christ, you're in hell. With Christ, you're in glory. And that's what's true of me, it's true of you, true of every human being. There is so much deception. One of the things I'm praying ardently these days, I'm asking God to penetrate the darkness and the deception of every religious movement in the world that is misrepresenting the kingdom of God. I'm asking Him to purge it. In my heart of hearts, I know that there are priests in Catholicism that will yet be born again and come out of Catholicism, but we've got them in Mormonism. We've got them in the Jehovah's Witnesses. We got them in every expression of religion, folks. Satan has set up a deceptive work to deceive and to destroy, and we, the people of God, are the only ones who have access to the throne of God, who can go before the throne of God and penetrate the darkness and the deception of that with the Word of God through prayer. Amen. And if we don't do it, it won't get done. You're part of it. It's not a picnic, it's warfare, and that's what we're up against. Now we come down to verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But here's an interesting thing. Christ Jesus died for all classes of men. See, Jesus died for men that you won't give the time of day to. Jesus died for men that if I'm not careful, I will be critical, judgmental, condemning. And you know what I'm talking about. There are those class of men that we don't want to think of them as being favored by God. We were all sinners. We just sinners saved by grace. Don't ever forget where God brought you from. Don't forget what God brought you out of. Never lose sight of that. Every day of the world, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him for bringing you out of what you were in and into what you're in now. But remember this, you're surrounded every day of the world by people who are still where you used to be. They are where you used to be. Somebody's got to care enough about them. Somebody has got to care enough about the Sodomites to say, God, would you penetrate the Sodomite community with the love of Christ? Somebody has got to love the transgender community enough to say to God, I don't love them, and I don't want to love them, but I'm willing to love them, but I can't love them unless you give me the love for them. You have to do it. I can't love a Sodomite, but you love them. You went to the cross. You went to the cross for the whorehopper. You went to the cross for the harlot. You went to the cross for the drug addict, the alcoholic, the profane. You went to the cross for every type of human being that Satan has ever indwelt. And if you loved him that much, can't I at least like him a little bit? Can't I at least come before the throne of God and say, God, please invest yourself in the sodomite community, the transgender community, the community of drug addicts and alcoholics and child abusers and name it. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Those in that community are not going to invite Christ into that community because they themselves are without Christ and running from Christ as hard as they can. Somebody has got to care enough to at least, when having a cup of coffee, make mention of them to the Lord. Somebody. I'm asking God to bring a score, bring scores out of those communities, save their souls, and then use them as salt and light against those communities. Bring them into the kingdom of God, and then use them against the kingdom of dark. But oh, God in heaven, help us. We become so complacent. Well, I'm okay, and you're okay, and I'm going to be all right, and you're going to be all right. And we forget we live in a sin-cursed, sin-darkened, sin-infested world. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we, you, me, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, you were a sinner, I was a sinner, God loved you, God loved me, and we're all at different levels in our sinful life. We were all involved in different expressions of sin, and what we were not involved in physically, we were involved in mentally, emotionally. We're just sinners saved by grace. So we are. And we're surrounded in a world of sinners. And the same grace that saved us can save them. But somebody's got to be salt. Somebody's got to be light. Somebody's got to care enough. Care enough. But here's what we tend to do. Our little Christian community. Boy, we better not let that in here because that gets in here. It can spoil who we are and all we are. What are you thinking? You're salt. You're light. You're to be involved in and concerned about those that we're living around and living with who themselves are not yet salt and light. That's what it's all about. We come to Romans 5:17. I wanted to get here to get you to Romans 6. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, once you're born again, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, adopted into the family of God, you become a believer priest, you become a soldier. The Word of God says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. But you have to understand this. Word of God says that you, watch this again now. Let me read it to you. I want you to get this very carefully. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you are to be ruling and reigning in life? God in heaven, help us. You say, Bob, I don't have a college degree. I don't have this. I don't have that. No. Have you got Christ? I can't find a single disciple that had completed college. Bunch of fishermen. Laborers. They didn't have letters. They didn't have degrees hanging on the wall. They had a boat, had a fishing net, had profanity. We know that from Peter. You have to understand. that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Well, guess what? You're one of the foolish people. I'm one of the foolish people. We are the foolish people. He's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So once you start understanding who you are in Christ, and I keep saying this, but I don't know that we're getting there, reign in life. You don't have to have your name on a poster to reign. You don't have to be in lights. You go to your prayer closet. You go to your prayer closet. But you see, when you get to your prayer closet, you got to make sure there's nothing in you that will block what you want to do in the prayer closet. I pray big things. I want you praying big things. I'm asking God to invade the Sodomite community and to save those who are of the elect and do not yet know they are of the elect. I'm asking God to penetrate every community, every ungodly community, the transgender community. I'm asking Him to penetrate, bring those out of that community, and then use them as salt and light where they were concerned. It's warfare, folks. It's warfare. And once you understand that, and you come to grips with that, and start living that, here again, you're supposed to reign in life. Are you reigning? Are you reigning over your own emotions? Are you controlling your own emotions? Are you under the lordship of Jesus Christ? The Word of God says here that we're supposed to reign in life. To reign means I've got authority. Are you using that authority? Do you know what your authority is? Do you practice that authority? Do you exercise that authority? You say, wait a minute. My authority. My authority. What is my authority? Your authority is in Christ Jesus. You can influence and affect things occurring in other nations of the world, in the world of community, in this community, in the church. You, as a soldier of the cross, as an ambassador for Christ, but you've got to know who you are in Christ Jesus, and you've got to know your prerogatives. Now we come to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. You thought I'd never get there. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we sin more and more so God can give us more grace? Of course not. Romans 6, 2. Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin? Whoa! Died to sin? Are you dead to sin? Word says we are. Folks, when you start moving into Romans 6, you're into some powerful, powerful doctrine. And we're going to look at 4 or 5 verses here, but watch this carefully now. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? When you came to Christ, you were baptized. You were immersed into Christ. Immersed. You were immersed into Christ. And you immersed into His death. He suffered death for me. He took my sins upon Himself, put those sins to death in Himself. When He died, He did the same thing for you. You see, every time you confess a sin, that sin is put to death in Christ Jesus. That's why you want to be sin sensitive. And you want to confess that thing as sin. Romans 6, 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, verse 4, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We've been brought out of that community of sinners. We've been brought up out of the walking death of sin, if you will, and made new creations in Christ Jesus. So the Word of God tells us that we should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. Let me read you that in another version. Verse 6:4. We have therefore been buried with Him through Jesus unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and power of the Father, we also might walk habitually in newness of life, abandoning our old ways. It's a new walk. It's a new life in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. We share in his resurrection power. What kind of power did it take to bring him out of a tomb? What kind of power does it take to bring a dead man out of a tomb? Power of God. But you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and nothing less than the power of God could bring you out of that walk in death that you were in. Only the power of God could do that. 6:5. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now we come to verse 6. Romans 6:6. This is powerful, folks. This is powerful. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Amen. The old man is crucified. Co-crucified with Christ. Your old sin nature was put to death in Christ Jesus. No, I do not subscribe to that doctrine. I've wrestled with it for years and years and years. I don't have a sin nature. I don't have a sin nature. I'm a new creation. Born again. Image of God. If you've been born again, you don't have a sin nature. You're not some kind of, as I've said this so many times over the years, you're not in a spiritual condominium or spiritual apartment house with Christ living downstairs and Satan living upstairs. No, your body, the Word of God says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I disagree with every expositor, and there's some scholars out there, but I disagree with them. I had to come to this years ago. I do not have a sin nature. Do I sin? Yes. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But it's not my nature to sin. Now listen to me, because I'm starting to wrap this up. If you've been born again, and you dwell by the Spirit of God, it is not your nature to sin. And when you sin, you hate it. When you sin, you hate the fact that you sinned. You wish you had not sinned. And you're going to get to your knees, or you're going to get before the Lord and say, Lord, that was sin. That reaction was sin. That attitude was sin. That speech was sin. That idea was sin. You say, Bob, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Indwelt by the Spirit of God. The moment the Holy Spirit of God quickens to you, that was wrong. That attitude was wrong. That response was wrong. That reaction was wrong. That thought was wrong. You don't have to wait to get home and fall on your knees, oh, Lord God. No, right here, right now, while I'm doing what I'm doing, Lord, I confess that thought of sin. I confess that attitude. I confess that reaction to sin. But you see, what happens is that we sin after sin after sin after sin, and we let them clog up and clog up and clog up. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Word of God, Psalm 66:18. If I know that I have known sin in my life and I'm not confessing that sin, that blocks my prayer life. I'm not saying I'm going to get victory over it first time I pray it. No. Some sin you've got in your life, you're going to have to pray it for months and months and maybe years until that day comes when you get up from your prayer time and it's won. The battle is yours. You have won. But until that time, you got that same sin. Lord, help me. There are people sitting here this morning. You know in your heart of hearts, attitudinally, action-wise, reaction-wise, you have a known sin and maybe multiple sins that you do not yet have victory over. You know that. And that's hindering your prayer life. Talk to God about it. Father, my prejudice is wrong. This is wrong. That's wrong. This is wrong. That's wrong. My response to this, my reaction to this, it's wrong. It's sin. I can't afford to have sin blocking my prayer life. I've got too many stuff I got to pray. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if I recognize that sin, Holy Spirit quickens me, I confess it is sin, I can get victory. Look, I still deal with attitudes. I know you're too holy for this. But I still find attitudes that I know is unchristlike. And I have to take the attitude before the Lord. You say, well, how long do you deal? Till I get victory. Let me tell you a slippery one. You don't want to try to control other people's lives, do you? See, I was in a position for years where I pretty much could affect a lot of lives. If you're not careful, you'll bring that over into your walk with the Lord. I did that then. Why can't I do that now? See, I have no right to control your life. I have no right to try to control you. I have every duty under God to love you. If I see a weakness in your life, if I see a fault in your life, if I see a flaw, I have a duty under God to pray for you. I can't change you. You can't change me. Only God can change me. Only God can change you. Only God can take care of that stuff, that garbage, that sinful garbage that's in the life that has festered there for so long. But we have to be willing to say to God, Lord, God, I got pride. I've got prejudice. I've got this, I got that, I got the other. Put your own name on it. But go before Him and confess the thing as sin. Then you can start getting victory. You may not get victory the first time. You may not get victory the first 400 or 500 times you pray it. But there will come a day when you will know, I no longer have a problem there. God has given me the victory there. I've got to wrap this up because you can't stand much more of this. Once again, this verse, I love it. Romans 6:6, I love it. Knowing this, understand this, get it down, embrace this, believe this, live this, knowing this, that our old man, our old sin nature, was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We were all slaves of sin. Now we've been set free. Romans 6:7, for he has died, has been freed from sin. Death. You can walk up to a body laying in a casket. Say, you're one of the sorriest individuals I've ever known. You can call him names. You can spit in his face. It's what I think of you, you did. He won't respond. He's dead. Are you that dead to sin? Are you that dead to the offenses? Verse 7 again. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Start closing it up now. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, and you, talking about believers, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Those are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God was telling Moses. He had chosen Israel. He said, you are going to be to me a kingdom of priests. They blew it. They failed to recognize that. They failed to obey that. They crucified the Lord of glory. He withdrew his grace. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. He is, he was, he is to come and loved us. Once again, let me get back there. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 6, Revelation 1:6. And has made us kings and priests. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. Has made us kings and priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. The Word of God says you've been made a believer priest. You're going to rule and reign with Christ, the Word of God teaches us. You are going to rule and reign. Why wait to the future? Do it the nasty here and now. Through prayer, submission, surrender. Now, in the future, we're going to be kings and priests. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him in eternity. Folks, this is what you got to look forward to. One split second after you die, you're there. And we're going to be redeemed, if you will. We're going to be ruling and reigning over redeemed humanity in the new heavens and the new earth. You are going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in the new, if you will, all of redeemed humanity. That gets us into prophecy, and I can't go there right now. Through intercessory prayer, you can rule and reign right now. Once you understand who you are in Christ and what your power, your authority is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power, and they shall be priests of God. Glory be to God. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's in the new heavens and the new earth. Have a brand new body. Brand new body. Be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Then, when the 1,000 years is over, we go on throughout the rest of eternity, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. No, I don't have just hope for now. My hope is in eternity. I got a mother in heaven. I got a dad. My mother died with a book in her hand. I got the Bible at home. She died, had the Bible in her hand, and went to glory, and let the Bible fall in her lap. So I got a mother to look forward to up there. My dad was in the hospital. The doctors came in, and the attendants came in and started clearing out his stuff. My mother said, what are you doing? They said, he's dying. We're just getting things ready. He's dying. Well, the next morning about 7 o'clock, my dad opened them bright blue eyes. Saw some bacon, eggs, grits. He didn't die. And my mother said, Robert, she said, last night, the medic said you were dying while they were in the room. He said, yeah. He said, I had a couple of angels come and talk to me. And she said, well, what did they say? She said, well, they told me to come to get me. And I told them, well, I'm not ready to go just yet. I got a couple of things I want to take care of. They said, well, I can't give you much time. He said, I'm not asking for much time, just a little time. I got a couple of phone calls I want to make. And they said, okay, but we'll be back for you shortly. And this is what my dad said to my mother. The night the doctor said he was dying right then. And dad said, no. Two angels came and said, we've come to get you. He told them what he had to do. They said, okay, we can give you a little time, not much. Dad said, I'm not asking for much, just a little. So they left. They came back about 48 hours later and got him and took him to glory. Ever occur to you that when you get ready to draw your last breath, there'll be a couple of angels there saying, here, child of God, I'm here to escort you into the presence of Jesus. I'm here to escort you into the presence of God. Oh, child of God, get your eyes off the nasty here and now. Put it on the sweet by and by. That's the name of the message, in case I didn't tell you. The nasty here and now. We're living in the nasty here and now, but we look forward to the sweet by and by. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Quinn, come pray for us. Come pray for us. Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul. Turn to somebody and say, God loves me. God loves me. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you don't stop now, start again. I better stop.